the latest deal. The point, the reason I wanted to bring that out is that, Jesus Christ, 10%. Heck, you know as well as I do, you just go out and dig in your garden, you call that 10% of your income. Really? I think the original bill was better for this farm tax exemption than the new one.
Of course, one of the things you have to take a look at is just exactly what it does for the farmer. I quit taking advantage of it, but I think all it does is get the farmer in a hole.
I know it does.
And the governor has a new bill here that House Bill number 29, Senate Bill 29.
Yeah, that's the one I don't have a copy of yet, and I was wondering, I was hoping hell you had something on that.
You got one in your package right there.
In that package.
Okay, that's the one I didn't pick up yet.
I'm not sure that your point is well taken, and maybe the correct approach to take is to think in terms of making it tighter so that it only fits farmers and taking away some of these horrible penalties, that it's like the deferred thing that we got on 917 there. It might go to the
This is that lien bill they're trying to come up with, isn't it?
Right, yeah, and they're constantly coming up with things to try to make it harder for the farmer to pay it off. I guess we sort of have to discuss what we want to do and what I recommend recommendations on it.
That's your bill there, 274. That's the department bill, isn't it? 274. Yeah. That addresses that thing.
Okay. This is right out of the Maryland law, this one right here.
Which House Bill or Senate Bill 29?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. The only difference is back there was 5 years and this is 7 years.
Did they have it, but this is the deferred tax there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, the thing I don't like about it is this new bill would make it, the way it was prior to this, it was up to someone to prove that the farmer had used it for something that was incompatible with agriculture, and this sort of thing makes it the farmer's responsibility to prove he didn't.
Well, I haven't finished reading it yet. I probably ought to be quiet until I read it. But anyway, the farmer doesn't have to prove anything. It's his land, and he eventually sells it to somebody for subdivisions, where the guy that's buying it's going to pay the back taxes on it.
Yeah, unless the farmer subdivides himself.
Yeah, and then he'd have to.
And the problem is that there's a constant lien on the property the way this is going. Ways now it's not a lien, it's sort of a different situation.
You mean this makes it a lien?
This bill would make it a lien. Yeah, it'd be on the tax record as a lien.
In other words, if I sold you a piece of property and I had used it for farming and then you said I'm going to buy it and use it for farming for 1 year and then convert it to subdivisions, you have to pay all the taxes even
probably.
Though you only owned it for 1 year.
Probably.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I give you
that's the intent.
It would have a tax lien against it, what it would have. It would be like a big tax lien, which means you wouldn't have a real clear title.
If you were buying my farm, could you finance it to a bank that way? Would that kind of lien against it?
Well, it depends on the bank.
Mm-hmm.
Bankers could, you know. Yeah. I mean, they take them with easements against them and a lot of different encumbrances, but that would be one that would be just like a cash out of the top, off the top of the pile.
Right.
Depending on how big it was.
Get it assessed and figure the taxes and figure what was in. Yeah, they
can do that.
Well, the question is if there's a way it could be improved so that it would work to encourage farmers to stay in farming and without giving them the opportunity for people to rip off the state.
Well, the only reason I want this deferred tax business is to keep that farmland under farm use.
Well, I think the way to do that is to just zone farmland for, if you want it to stay farmland, zone it for farmland and leave it be so that you can't do it. Then you have to go to the local planning and zoning commission to get it to take out.
Okay, now, Bob, then you run into a problem with unorganized boroughs.
Well, how many unorganized? Yeah, you're unorganized down your area, aren't you?
Yeah, you sure are.
Yeah. You've got an unorganized borough, and who the hell's gonna do the planning?
Yeah, that's true.
That's the problem, man.
And you gotta go to the state, all right.
Unless we come up with some sort of deal to put farmland under the Department of Agriculture, I mean, I'm just brainstorming now, unless the Department of Agriculture, if we set one up, would have the zoning capability to hold it as far as farmland was concerned. I'm just brainstorming now.
See, the state, the way the state set that Delta farmland up, it is, you know, perpetually farmland.
State owned.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yeah. That's the way they dispose of it.
But you're talking about, this refers to already privately owned farmland.
You know, I think we kinda got ourselves in a ball of snakes in the first place with this, oh, Mary, come on in and have a seat. Mary.
Very good memorandum, Mary.
But, you know, we got ourselves in a ball of snakes in a way on this farm business now. On this agricultural preferential deal. You know, basically our intent was originally for this preferential business was to keep farmland from being subdivided. And I think we done developed a big ball of snakes. Because, you know, we're running that Tannenau Loop problem down there where Ted Smith and that bunch is trying to come up. Do you know the story on that? Let me tell you what's happened.
I've got three or four letters on it.
Oh, Jesus, we've got some mad people. You know the story on North Geneva. Well, basically, what it adds up to is this. If you got a farm over here and you got it in fee simple, and that's your base farm, and you get some ag preferential right land, you end up, the way they want to do it, giving up your fee simple rights on your base farm in order to utilize both your ag preferential land and so forth. Tell me something about that. Maybe you can tell me something. Nick.
They tried that on me once.
There's no logic to it.
Well, what the hell is Ted up to?
I don't know. He went to him.
Somebody's going to break his other goddamn leg.
We went back to him and said, you know, basically told him we didn't see how I could do that. I advised there, I think, two or three farmers who had a problem. And I said, are you? I just proceed to modify your farm plan. That's what they want to do. They're trading, they're allowing him to build buildings on a new parcel in exchange for giving them development rights on his own.
I had a guy come all the way to Juneau to talk about that.
Well, I told him, I said, go ahead and modify your farm plan. I said, when Ted Smith comes back and demands that you release it, I said, that's what we'll make motion because of make movement because the letter says that he reserved that right. And, you know, my reaction was, well, he could try.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's no way legally he can force him to do that.
Well, where did they come up with that interpretation? Apparently somebody gave him that interpretation. Now, Ray Morgan's hard as hell about it. You can talk to Ray, I'm sure. Well, Ray's one of the property owners down there. It's involved in it. I can name you off about 10 people that's,
I think there were just three that had that problem.
Yeah, but there's about 10 people in all that are concerned with it, you see.
More than that.
Well, it isn't state law. It's just a policy.
It's just a policy, right? It's not a law.
I made a deal with them for some land a few years back, and they tried to do that with me on that land up in the mountains.
They did?
Yeah, they tried to get me to go on something like that, and I told them what they could do with it, and they didn't push it.
They don't push it, right. That's what happened.
But they tried.
Why do they try? What's their aim? They got to have some.
I don't know.
That's what I understand their philosophy. They think that if they're going to give the farmer a break because he's a farmer and they have a negotiated deal on adjacent land or whatever, that they want to pin him down, you know, to pin him down as much as they can, get as much out of him as they can in return for that. It's not revalid. You know, farmer will stand still for it. It's like trying to pull in the Delta with the land clearing thing, right? If they agreed to do the clearing. And to switch things around in the contract. The farmers would stood clear to do what they would have done, right?
Oh, yeah, right. Oh, yeah.
And the farmers would have done it, and everything would have been fine. Right. It's a matter of the way you write the contract.
Actually, I wish the hell they'd let us do our own clearing up there in the first place. We've been clearing land up there for years.
That's what we wound up doing. The thing is, you know, it's really just an iceberg, tip of an iceberg on a larger problem. That is that the philosophy of raising lands isn't really geared toward agriculture.
That's right.
Yeah. It just does not.
We can maybe touch on that when we start talking about the Department of Agriculture thing. Okay. That might be a direct, let's stay with this.
Let's get with this dang thing here. I've got an assignment.
This tax thing, if there's any way that we
I've got an assignment out of finance committee that relates to this this thing.
Finance committee wants a recommendation, right?
Yeah.
On this?
Yeah, I need a recommendation
farm
on
taxes.
This.
Which
farm
one
taxes,
now?
Agricultural land exemption grant. We have.
Which bill are you talking about?
Well,
there's no bill in here on it. It's just this memorandum that we've got here that Mary has made up for me that pertains to farm use land assessment. The question came up as to whether or not
you have copies.
It was a good bill. It was a good deal or not.
You have copies of the statute.
Our conclusion is there should be some changes in this thing, just from what I've seen so far. But I'd go with whatever the committee wants to do. But this was an assignment. This bill was referred to me to bring before the Agricultural Committee and see if this is, the statutes are as they should be at the moment. Now, in this memorandum, you'll notice there's two breakdowns in it. You've got the bill, the statutes as they exist now, and the original statutes. If you'll notice, they have marked page 98 is a copy of the original statutes, and there's also some of your forms in there, farm use assessment application, etc. Now, page 55 is the, and 56 is the bill as it stands now, and 98 is the original bill. And one of the questions I had on it, should we continue to go with the present statutes on the 10%, or should we return to the 25%? That was one of the things that I was concerned about. I'm gonna get rid of my coat here. My question is, I guess what the Finance Committee's question is, do we leave it alone or do we change it? There is some question about it. You have that budget page. Have you got it with you? There is a fiscal impact. And if I remember, we're looking at something like $180,000, $190,000. These are grants that go back to the municipalities or the boroughs. And we're having to take that out of state funds to pay them for the loss of their borough taxes or municipal taxes. And it started in 1975.
It's a reimbursement
deal. It's a reimbursement deal on a grant deal.
Well, I feel that I quit taking advantage of it because I didn't like the idea of having a lien on the property. I think it's a better program than no program. There might be ways of making it, you know.
Well, I think we've got about 115 people that are taking advantage of this now, if I remember the correct number on it. It's in the memorandum there. That are utilizing these benefits now, and that 115 amounts to some $180,000, $190,000 in grants back to the state for loss of revenue.
Back to municipalities from the state.
Yeah, from the state. I thought I had this information here. Okay, the breakdown is this. An Anchorage, the city of Anchorage, has got 153 acres. They get a deal of $12,763 back. Fairbanks has got 1,615 acres out of 8 applications. They get a grant of $3,899, and Kenai has got 10 applications and they for 2,095 acres. And the, to give you an example, is $1,098,300 full and true land value. And the deferment that the farmers get is equivalent to 718,650 acres, or total deferred tax $4,836.
What's that farmland valued at?
Well, the full and true value, let's go to Mat-Su down here, for example. There's 65 applications there. This is the FY 78 breakdown. There's 11,602 acres in the Mat-Su area for 65 applicants. the true value of that land is $10,398,940, and they've deferred 8,907,580 acres of it for a total deferment of $97,117.73 that the Mat-Su Borough gets, which brings us up to a total yield of $118,616.46.
What do they assess for
them? It varies depending on where it's located and quality of the land, but somewhere around, I think, between 350 and 5, I think is it is. As opposed to its true value of around 4,000, say 3,000 to 4,000. It's quite a factor, but the problem, you see, what you have to look at is that when the farmer has that deferred tax, it acts as a...
It is a lien the way this is spent.
The higher the deferred tax is, the tougher it is for the farmer to ever convert it.
Of course, now, you'll notice one thing down here, Pat. Revenue collected as a result of withdrawal from the program, there was two applicants on 163.5 acres, and the original tax is only $1,423.06, and they collected $1,399.32.
Of course, that doesn't address itself to how many years it was in the
program. Well, this is part of our problem here. The mill rate and so forth has got a lot to do with it, too. Stated here in the memorandum, the intent seems to be a little bit on the vague side.
You know what we need, but what we need in order to be able to make a judgment on something like this is knowledge as to how many of these people are bona fide farmers and how many of them are getting.
Well, this is my point. We've got this thing to that 10%. This has got the 10% income. Anybody's got a piece of ground, they get 10% of their income from it as agriculture, then they're farmers. You can't, I know we've got, I'd go a 50-50 deal or a 75-25. But you can't tell me that a guy that only draws help, we made that much off our damn garden 1 year. By gosh, I got over $1,500 just out of a garden that's only about an acre in size. We made $1,500 off of it, selling it off the side of the road. Now that made me a farmer on that little piece of ground over there in Big Delta. I ain't talking about my farm deal, I'm just talking about my garden plot. That makes me a farmer.
Well, I'm not so sure that it's that easy. Think in terms of 10%. If you're talking of what your wages are, of course, but you got to remember that the idea of it is to keep the land undeveloped. I mean, isn't it as important to rule out people who may not be farmers as it is the intent is to keep the land available for farming.
Okay.
If a guy's taking advantage of tax, he's not going to sell it.
That 10% doesn't bother me any. I wouldn't care if it was 5% for it. I'm concerned.
I don't think the point in fooling with it. It's
I think it's the important point is whether it's farmland.
That's
what we're trying to do is maintain the farmland. We can find, if we can't, well, this other provision takes care of it. I think that 7 years is too long. I think that ought to be cut down. See, they raised it from 2 to 7 originally. I wonder why they raised it so much. Anybody have any background on that?
Well, there's some place in some other state somewhere they had 7 years. I think they decided 7 years was a good figure. The problem is they're so afraid that the farmers are going to take advantage of it that they're trying to tighten up. This is the second time in a row this has been last year, too.
Now, has it passed? It didn't pass last year?
No, it didn't pass last year. Cthulhu said he killed it, and I don't know if he killed
it. This lien bill you're talking about.
What's the situation now? Just gets a straight deferment for farmland.
Was it 7 years?
Well, it is 7 years now.
It's 7 years, and if I'm not mistaken, it's 7 years, and it's at 8% interest.
Okay, that's the way it is now, then.
Right, yeah. I haven't read this all this year, probably I should.
Is there any fiscal note attached to this thing?
Well, this basically is fiscal note here, in a sense, on this farm use land assessment is a fiscal note, in a sense.
Mary did say that you had one, didn't Mary?
I could get the
I wasn't concerned so much with the payments as I was with what it's going to cost the state to maintain these liens and stuff like that.
Okay, FY78, $118,616.
That's paid. I meant, you know, there's anytime you start restricting something like this and putting in more regulations, it costs you money to administer.
To administer, this is part of our problem.
Well, how much you know, I look at this and I weigh on the one hand how much it's going to cost you to administer these other rules and regulations.
Okay, this is just the grant end of it here. This goes out to the municipalities as a
right,
grant.
That number. I know that. And, I see that number. I'm thinking about the number for whoever it is that goes back and audits all these things.
Mary, will you get a copy of that so we can sit down and discuss it?
I'm not sure if they have it.
I think, I don't believe they've even got personal services. If I remember.
Are you talking about this program or the...
I'm talking about our budget deal there.
Okay.
I don't know whether there's any personal services or travel involved. I think it's strictly grant deal and it's handled by... We have, at this particular moment, if I recall correctly, the only note we had on it was the grant end of it.
Right.
That's about all it goes.
And that's summarized in Mary's memo.
Yeah.
I have, this is getting off the subject just a little bit, but I have my proposed bill for preserving land without going through this tax thing that I've had to make copies of there. You might look at
this one?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
That's
this new one here. Mm-hmm. Okay.
It might be possible just to sort of coast along with this thing for a year and see if this can go through and if it'll do the job. I don't know.
Well, my opinion of the tax law is it's not good anyway.
Well, my opinion is the same, but we have two. As I say, we have two alternatives. We can leave it the way it is. We can talk about changes. We can, and or any changes we talk about have to be changes that would improve it in some way, right?
Right.
And that's a lot of changes, a lot of fooling around, and
right.
if we can get involved in picking up the development rights to the farmland instead of that, and make it so that farmers will take advantage of it, maybe we don't have to worry about this as much.
I know that when a guy goes to subdivide, even if you had to adhere to the lien and the other payments, he's just going to pay it. All that does is he jacks the price up of his subdivision to the point to cover those costs, which means the land, fee simple land for subdivision is higher.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it does. It doesn't. It isn't a deterrent to him at all.
Well, that's the reason they want to put the lien on it. Makes it a little tougher for him.
Yeah, if you really want to keep it in farm status, well, there's nothing wrong with this. If you think it's too big a penalty to pay for going from farm to subdividing, that's another question.
Because it's also just a temporary measure.
Yeah.
Because eventually you're going to reach the point where it doesn't pay.
Right. As long as it pays, you'll do it. If it doesn't, you
doesn't
do it.
Then you don't convert. It's that simple. And so it's a delaying action. And I suspect what they're going to do is they're going to cause problems because of this lien for the legitimate farmer that's going to be have a lien on that property. And he goes in the bank somewhere to finance something, and it's going to be a lien showing against the property. Can't get it. You go over here to the Division of Business Loans of the state. They require a first mortgage position. Well, and I couldn't own it through mortgage the property to get it from the state because of that. Which means that you're hurting the legitimate farmer, I think.
Well, we can't recommend that they do away with it right now, right?
For the grant deal?
Yeah, we can't. I don't think we recommend that they do away with
it. For example, there's 115 applicants now for the FY79. There's an undetermined number of parcels in that particular moment. And we're looking at 15,466 acres, 0.941 acres that's in the 79. I don't know what the actual number of acres, but there's 115 applicants requesting the differential assessment. Now, as I understand it, this would only be within municipalities and unincorporated boroughs. So that means the majority of them may be from the Mat-Su area.
Well, obviously they are, but by total, you're talking about 97,000.
And you see, up until what, 75, I think it was, municipalities absorbed it. 75 is when they came out with the grant deal. So this grant business is grants. I think it's been in operation since 75.
I thought it was a grant right from the time it started.
I think it was 75 was the original year that they began it. Okay, assessment, the statute was created in 1972, And until 1975, municipalities absorbed the loss of revenue arising from this from the differential assessment. And then in 75 is when the bill came out that started reimbursing the municipalities. And let's see our figures here. Okay, 73, they had 55 applications, 74, 66. 75, they had 71. And I guess where the big jump came was really in 77 in value. They must have changed an assessment there at that time or something in the municipality.
They did in Matt Sewer.
So in a way, you weren't looking at too much money until 76. Well, I don't know. They gradually increased. But do we figure that the state should continue this grant business? That's the main idea behind that.
That's Meekin's request.
Yeah, should we continue this
grant? Is it continue it?
Whether or not we recommend that they continue the program or if we do something else.
You see, the thing about it is we got the meat axe out. And every time you look at anything of any size, we want to figure out some way of cutting money on it.
I'll tell you what's going to happen if you don't. Most of the boroughs are going to quit doing the program.
Sure they will.
Because the only reason the Anchorage borough is doing it now, they've got two greenhouses in there. I think they're main two elements. And I fought them. And until they got the reimbursement feature in there, they would not assess land as agricultural land. Just would not. As soon as the state started reimbursement, they started assessing it as agricultural land. And those two are both CC's greenhouse and one out there on Mulgrew. That's what will happen.
If you drop this program, they'll go right back to assessment.
Yeah, right.
And that'll be it.
But you're right. And the exceptions will probably be the Matanuska Valley because they are the ones I know used the program before the reimbursement was in.
Well, now I tell you something's going to happen. I got my tail feathers singed 4 years ago in trying to set up a Deltona borough. It's taught me a lesson about anything to do with borough for a while, but I know it's coming. Either the North Star Borough is going to move out and pick up that Delta project, or either they're going to have to form a borough themselves within the future, coming up here in the next few years. I'm just sure as I'm sitting here, I know it's going to happen. So you're looking at a hell of a chunk of ground there when you start looking at assessment. Maybe we don't do anything about it now, right at the moment, but this is something we've got to look at in the future as far as grants are concerned, because I know that what's going to happen, the largest part of that land, if they put a borough in that area around the Delta project, for example, you're going to look at one hell of a grant from the state to cover them on that real property tax deal. Plus, every bit of that.
There'll be 80,000 acres.
There'll be a tax on it, but the thing about it is the full assessed value of it.
But the full assessed value will be based on what it's worth for agriculture.
Well, you're looking at, I tell you the tax they're looking at.
When you don't own the land, they can tax your use of it?
Well, that's probably, right.
you do own the agricultural value.
You don't own the land.
We're going to have to talk about that later.
The way the title reads, you want to talk about it later, Ken, but the way the title reads, it's a fee simple title of all rights reserved except agriculture. So, according to the courts, you would own it.
But, it's interesting. Let's take a look at this agricultural preservation that I've got here. The reason I want to look at that right now is because
this one.
Yeah, this was taken. Some of these things were taken from Maryland, and the only thing I wanted to point out is the agricultural preservation easement aspect, which apparently is a method whereby you can restrict it to agricultural use only, and except for that one restriction, which is an easement, you have fee simple title. And I'm not sure that maybe there is a question of whether you have fee simple title or whether the ag title has, you know, as much value as it shouldn't. And this might be a way to change the state law on the ag rights or ag title so that it would.
Okay, well, keep one thing in mind. There is a bill in the House right now for real property tax in unorganized boroughs. And that may bring this to a head sooner than we're talking about. Even if we went into a borough, now it averages out approximately 7 mills. And it's they go, if this bill passes the House, or and if it goes becomes a law, you're looking at a 7 mil tax even on unorganized boroughs. Now that's a state tax.
You're addressing yourself to the farmland problem?
I'm addressing myself to all real property, and farmland is part of it. And you're looking at probably 80,000 acres in that Delta area alone, and between Fairbanks and Delta, you're probably looking at 100,000 acres eventually within the next 5 years in the Tanana Valley area.
But what was the price that they bought it for?
Well, the point is, it's not what they paid for it. You're looking at about 50 or 51 bucks an acre. But when you start figuring the clearing cost on it, you're looking at probably $300 to $400 an acre before they get the first crop planted.
Is it going to be that much?
It'll be at least that much. Yeah, that property will be worth that much. It'll be worth, I'm estimating $400 an acre on the average the time you got it cleared and the first planting in there.
$400 an acre?
Including the first planting, yeah. But the state's not allowing that much for clearing.
It ain't what they're allowing, it's what it's going to cost.
The state's going to pick up all the costs, regardless of what it costs?
I doubt it.
Well,
they
I doubt it too.
They ain't got that kind of money. They're not putting that kind of money in the project.
That's what I'm saying.
I know what it costs me to clear an acre of land up there. By the time I get the berms out of that damn thing and get that field in good cultivated condition, I figure it costs me about $400 an acre.
I don't doubt it. If you got the berms out.
And when you start cleaning up berms, now that you're looking at another $200 an acre of berms when you're cleaning those up. And I figure I've got about $400 an acre in my ground that I've cleared, that it's cost me. And hell, I can show you bills on that by the time I figure up what it cost me to operate my cat, and the fuel and the time and the labor involved in that, it cost me $400 an acre to have it in the farmland.
What's the state allowing for clearing on this project, you know?
Yeah, it's $145 an acre and $20 an acre for berm clearing is what the contract reads. That's what the state
now, the 20 the bucks an acre now, are they talking about total acreage, or are they just talking about berm acreage?
Total acreage. Based on
okay, if you've got 100 acres, and you've cleared, and you've got 95 acres of cleared ground and 5 acres of berm, it's still 20 bucks times 100 acres.
Right.
Okay, that's that works out about
the
right.
The contract is set up on a gross acreage basis.
But $125 will not pay for clearing that land.
That's just how much we're financing.
Yeah. It will not pay for it. It's going to cost the guy some more money.
Well, we can't get involved in all the tax problems.
No, but the point I'm getting at, Pat, is we're looking at a possibility of a state tax, real property tax on improved land. And cleared land and farmland is improved land. And the average of 7 mils is approximately what they're talking about. And it's coming. Now this will be an unorganized borough deal. And you're looking at 400,000 to 500,000 acres in the Nana area sometime within the next 10 or 15 years also.
Well, even if it was 10 mils, that's 1%. So you're talking about $400 an acre, you're talking about $4 an acre.
Yeah.
Yeah, well the only point I want to make is that, you know, farmers can get certain privileges. I think they should. I think they should only be taxed on the basis of what it's worth for farming. It's income producing ability, but they really should pay that price, whatever that happens to be. You know, we can only go down so far, and if the guy's got 400,000 acres and it's worth 400 acres, you're going to have to pay the tax, that's all. If you can't compete.
Okay, but this is where this grant business comes in now. You see, we're actually taking that money, and instead of the farmer paying it, it's coming out of the municipality or out of the borough deal. Is coming out of their pocket that they would normally be making that tax on.
Yeah, but you got to realize that when you've got ag rights only, you don't have the difference between the ag value and the speculative value. You've only got the one value, and that's the value you're taxed on, so you don't have the grant situation in this case. There's no grant situation on ag only land.
Right. What you're saying is you don't think that the ag land will be taxed as real property.
No, I'm saying it'll be taxed as real property, but only on its value for
ag. Culture rights, because that's all there are. There's no danger of any speculation.
Right, how are you going to determine the value of that acreage?
Well, you just did.
Okay.
So either that or by...
This is what I'm saying.
Well, some manner similar.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Comparable sales. If people sell some ag land, then you got some sales to go by. Or you could also, they can arrive at it on income producing which is a, would be the best way for the farmer if we're based on, you know, where they do any kind of increasing property.
See, this reimbursement to the municipalities is based on these lands that they're trying to hold in agriculture. These yeah, lands right. are no problem because they're going to stay in agriculture. That's
yeah.
it. In, down your area, down the belt.
Well, we're going to have a lot of that around Fairbanks for it's over.
Oh, I think so.
Blanket recommendation is going to be leave this tax thing the way it is for now.
Okay, we'll leave the grant deal the way it is.
Unless someone wants to make a suggestion. The way
yeah, that's good.
In other words, you just oppose that particular bill.
We'll be opposing the bill. Meekins wanted some direction from this committee on what to do in the finance committee about whether or not to continue those grants that your municipality seeks.
Yeah.
And our recommendation would be to continue them because it does its job.
But if they're going to amend the bill, you ought to amend it from 7 down to 5 years or something like that.
If they get this, if we get this bill in committee, we'll try, you know, we'll try to block it because I don't think we need to get involved.
The administration's bill you're talking about.
Yeah.
I think you'd just be putting in more restrictions that wouldn't save the state any money anyway.
I don't like the anytime you talk about throwing a lien on anything. I don't, it just don't set too well.
I don't like that lien bit either. It could be, seems to me it could be written differently and do the same thing.
Well, it's kind of a sneaky way to put the farm in a box, you know, yeah. I don't like that. If they're gonna try to put in a box, it's put in the box right from the start.
We're sitting in the box already.
Okay, the next
one. Actually, they're only talking about $180,000 with all four areas. When you break it down just to the Mat-Su, which is the biggest one, it's hardly worth it.
Right. That's right.
It shouldn't even take up our time with
well, yeah, all the time we spend in the damn bill and the tax assessor and the state and going back and forth. Why? I'll bet the net result's not half of it.
Well,
but
I
it isn't either.
You know,
yeah.
I looked at it and I thought what we really should do is try to figure out some way to get away from that filing every year and all the phony baloney that they've got involved in administering it, but that would be really tough. Take a lot of work.
I'll tell you one thing, though, that this investigation...
What did you say?
It didn't work.
No, it didn't work.
This investigation that we kind of made on this thing, kind of digressing here just a moment, on this assessor, I'm not too happy with the assessor's office, really. I think they got problems there. And I got a feeling that they're going to be coming up asking for more people here all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just based on what I can determine.
Who's
what's
gonna
going
to ask
on,
for more people?
I'd say the state assessor's office.
Don't give them to them.
Community Regional Affairs handles the grants. Where the state assessor's office gets involved, except to come up with, you know, claiming we're not doing it. Keeping it tight enough.
Well, I don't know, but I just got an idea they're going to be coming up asking for more people here one of these days. I just mentioned that for what it's worth, looking at it from the finance standpoint.
Well, let's move on
we
to
won't
this.
Kill that horse anymore, I guess.
This House bill that I introduced on the Status of the Department of Agriculture.
Okay.
I don't know if anybody's had a chance
to. I hadn't had a chance to go all the way through it, but now one question I've got, will that include Plant Material Center under that Ag Department too?
Well, I think we're going to have to, you know, all I did was call up the Legislative Affairs, told them I wanted to build a Department of Agriculture, including forestry, and this is what they came up with. And frankly, I haven't gone through, you know, the first few bills I introduced, I went through and started to do all kinds of changes, and maybe we want to do that as a committee. I think we probably do.
Well, in my opinion, the Plant Materials Center is a important portion of the Agricultural Department. If we come up with an Agricultural Department, I consider that a very important section to it. Anything pertaining to agriculture, I haven't had a chance to go through here yet.
And it's all the experiment stations then?
Well, that's where you don't want to get tangled up with the university. Plant Materials Center, the basic purpose of Plant Materials, it is the link between the university experimental station and the farmer or the producer. Because basically the experimental part is done at the university. They turn over small quantities of grain or products and so forth to Plant Materials Center. They increase the amount you got so you can get it out to the various farms and so forth like that. There's a kind of a fine line in there between the experimental deal and Plant Material Center, because Plant Material Center does do some, you might say, experimental work, but the It's a basic link between the farmer and the experimental farm, plant material center is. Of course, they do a lot of other things in experiment. They're pesticides and all that other jazz, which we're going to be involved in here pretty heavily for a while. But,
yeah, pesticides is something that I'd like to get up to date on what's happening down there. Whether they got use, got
okay, this is another reason that I objected to that that Toklat River deal as a matter of principle as much as anything else, because...
I know exactly what you're saying.
It could affect... That 200 or 300 acres they're talking about there could affect 500,000 acres if they stop us. This is why we got into that thing on the floor there the other day, Pat.
Yeah, they'll say the pesticides are going to leach out of the land into the creek.
And they're going to restrict it. I'm not only looking at the Toklat. I'm looking at the damn Sawmill Creek and these other things that run through the farmland, the Delta area, and in other areas where you might have a farm deal.
Is there any salmon running Sawmill Creek?
No, but it's the same thing. I mean, hell, they can say the grayling are getting affected. They can say the grayling are getting affected and everything like that. I just didn't want them to have that. Of course, the word critical habitat just raises a red flag in front of my face in the first place.
Fish and Game's been trying to get a special fishing area for the Delta River for a number of years, you know, out there to come close to Delta and Panama.
A special fishing area?
It's something they call like a fishing habitat or official fishing. It's a place where the red salmon apparently do certain things.
Okay, I'll tell you about
critical habitat.
Yeah, they want to be.
Okay, I'll tell you about that.
Well, probably Clearwater Lake.
My farm is only about 2 miles from that thing. That is a spawning ground, the mouth of the Delta River.
But if you read their proposed legislation, it influences all the water that flows into that particular area.
That's the thing.
Of course, that's the entire watershed.
Yeah, the whole goddamn area.
The whole area.
And this is why I was upset about that Toklat deal, see?
Same deal, huh?
Same deal. Well, thank God that thing got kicked down the other day. I don't know where you were that night, Nate, but it was kicked down. It was
by one vote.
Yeah.
One vote, huh?
It was close.
Two votes, really.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, I'd like the committee to talk a little bit about the studying part of agriculture.
You're going to have to wheel ahead of subject.
I just want you to understand that I kicked this thing in because I think that the concept is good, but whether or not we have the things in here we want to cover, I'm not sure, and maybe we need to have some sort of a work session on it before.
Okay, I made two or three notes, Pat, on this. I made a note to the formation of a separate Department of Agriculture rather than a division of the Department of Natural Resources, and agriculture will evolve in loan fund administration to be in the department in addition to all other agricultural programs in operation in the state. And the plant material center to be under the Department of Agriculture and remove all personnel and funding from the Department of Natural Resources that are involved in agriculture programs. And basically there will be no new personnel required to form the department because you pick up all the personnel from the present existing agencies.
Actually, that's something we need to determine, isn't it, whether or not that's true, whether or not there will be, how much of this will be involved, because when the guy, the radio interviewer asked me, he said, talked about the cost of setting up a special department.
Well, in the matter as I see it, Pat, we will not have any cost as far as transferring responsibilities, because all you're doing is changing the title of the head shed, is what it boils down to. But you're putting under an administration, and I think this is what you're doing here too, is skim reading it here. You're putting under one, basically be a commissioner of agriculture, is what it boils down to. It's a cabinet level type, and I think it's important enough to have a cabinet level type administrator at the head of it. But the point is to suck in all of this other stuff that has to do with agriculture, the revolving loan fund administration and all that. That should go under the commissioner of agriculture. Anything pertaining to it, to agriculture and forestry, because forestry in itself is a type of agriculture.
It's agriculture. You got to get it out of the Division of Lands because they don't want to cut any trees. They're a bunch of greens.
Yeah.
That's right. One of my reasons for doing this is that I'm hoping that when we get in to start thinking in terms of our program for ag development, we might be able to get involved with utilizing the timber to pay the cost of clearing in some of these places where they have big trees, and that would be a good approach.
Well, you're looking at a number of ways that I think when we go into massive clearing deals, you're looking at chipboards and stuff like that, if they would come up with a method of utilizing the wood products that come off of these clearing areas, and it can be done, and every time you clear something, that stuff goes into a chipboard or chip manufacturer, which will defray some of your clearing costs if you've got the equipment to do it with.
I think the quickest and easiest one would be to use it all for fuel, for energy or something like that.